Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, man. This is Cinema with the Guys episode. I think this is episode 16, man. Let me check my do my Googles real quick on what episode this is. This is episode 15. Yeah, episode 15, man. Told y'all last week we just got done reviewing WandaVision, man. You can go check those episodes out right now. I'm your host, Scott. At Barb Chair Scott on Twitter and Instagram, man. Just want to get my brother, Flo's is not here today because he's a fucking coward. So let's just get that out the way right now. We told y'all for weeks we're going to be breaking down Tenet on the show. So as usual, I'm here. Like I said, I'm the Cal Ripken of Barber's Chair Network. I never sit out. But I've got my bald on live co-host here with me since there's really no basketball to talk about today, so we're not double potting it up. For those of you who don't know, Ball Don't Lie is on hiatus to the last week of March. So, you know what I'm saying? You know, give a couple weeks of basketball to talk about. And then by the time we come back, it'll be trade deadline anyway. So
exactly,
we'll have that to talk about. So don't be tweeting us, where the hell is Ball Don't Lie? So y'all get this instead. You can follow him on Twitter at OctoberZoneTay. You can follow the Barber's Chair Network on Twitter and Instagram at Barber's Chair Net. And of course, Patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network, man. Subscribe for the $10 package, Barber's Chair All Access. Me and my brother are actually going to start recording Sopranos Season 3 review, and that'll be to you first week of April. Seasons 1 and 2 are up right now. And, of course, next week we'll be breaking down The Falcon Winter Soldier. Another movie we got breaking up soon will be Judas and the Black Messiah. So I'm hoping for a guest for that. So yeah. Just be patient on that and wait on it. But anyway, we are here, and we're here to talk about Tenet, man. Tenet, it was a movie that was on my most anticipated movies list for 2020, of course, before the pandemic came and everything, man. It's directed by Christopher Nolan. For those of you who probably know him from The Dark Knight, the whole Dark Knight trilogy, of course, he's got other classic movies that you might know him from. And it stars Denzel's son, John David Washington, who's been in a lot of dope stuff recently. He's one of the biggest actors in the game right now. And his other actor is Robert Pattinson. You might know him from, I think he was in Twilight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Twilight.
Twilight, he will be in the upcoming Batman movie that I'm looking forward to. He's going to be the next Batman. So I thought a lot of people... let's just give you the background to it. It was supposed to come out in theaters last year.
Right.
Of course, pandemic came. It was the first. And, you know, Christopher Nolan is somebody who's like, really, he didn't want to put it on streaming. He's really against streaming. HBO Max was going to try to put it on there. And he was like, fuck that. So they ended up dropping it in theaters. I think it was September 2nd. Let me see. I got it right here. It dropped on September 3rd, 2020 in IMAX. It was the first Hollywood tentpole movie to open in theaters. It grossed $363 million worldwide, making the fifth highest grossing film of last year. But it failed to break even, which is pretty much all that movie studios care about. You didn't break even, nigga, so it's just a fucking flop.
It's an L in their book.
Right. It's a fucking flop. So they ended up putting it on... it was on, all on streaming, I think like January. It was like beginning of the year.
Yeah, you can rent it. You can rent it from Warner Brothers for. You can rent it for $5. Buy it for $20. I rented it for the $5.
Well, for that first week, you couldn't rent it because they forced me to buy that shit.
Oh, that's so terrible, nigga.
Yeah, yeah. So I was just so thirsty to see the movie. I haven't seen a movie in a long time, so I was just real thirsty to do it. I turned off all the lights in the crib, looked like I was in the movie theater to get the full, thing about it. But I seen a lot of people who saw the movie say it was confusing. I didn't understand it. It was a waste of time. You seen it how many times now? Three?
I've seen it three times now.
Okay.
Today was my third time watching it. And honestly, I feel like if you're a fan of Christopher Nolan, like we said off pod, like outside of the Batman movies, you have to watch his movies more than once. Because he makes those movies that it's like a roller coaster ride. And at the end, he brings it all together. But because the movie is fucking 2 hours long, you got to go back and rewatch it. Because then you start catching shit and you'll be like, oh, yeah. Shit, okay, that makes sense. And that's definitely what happened with me with this movie. And like, I made the mistake of the first time I saw it, I went to the drive-in. That's how thirsty I was.
Oh, like, you super thirsty.
I really wanted to see this movie. So I'm like, all right, fuck it. We finna go to the drive-in. That's the only thing that's open. We finna be in the wheel. But this is not one of those movies you could really watch at the drive-in. Because
definitely not.
You gotta pay attention and there's certain shit. Like, especially I've enjoyed the fact that I've liked the fact that you could watch a lot of movies on demand now instead of going to the show, because I could just throw the closed caption on, and that helps you catch a lot of shit. And so with this movie, once I finally sat down and actually got to watch it uninterrupted, nothing going on around me, it's a great movie. It's your typical Christopher Nolan heist movie. Like, it just, he takes you on a psychological bend, you know, because they're dealing with time. And a lot of people thought it was time travel, but the reality is they're on the same timeline, but it's just, and one end they're moving forward and one end they're moving backwards. Yeah. So, you know, that's where it gets stuck.
First time I saw, I'm with you on the, you know, don't get me wrong, I love the experience of going to the movie theater and watching the fucking movie. You know what I'm saying? It's cool and all that. But I like being in the crib too. And honestly, if anybody's like, I don't want to pay $30 to watch. I mean, if you go to movie theaters, right? Even if you go by yourself, movies are so expensive nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
That you can spend about $60 just by your damn self.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And one thing I will give Nolan, though, this movie was built for IMAX.
Oh, like, for sure.
100%. This movie was 100% built for IMAX. Like, when he first dropped this, I'm like, man, it's a pandemic. Why are you bitching? But, like, when I watched it and then I watched it at home, even with my surround sound, that don't give it justice. Like, no. That didn't do it justice. I can only imagine how it felt in an IMAX. So I felt him on that part, but I'm with you. Like, being at home, you get to enjoy the movie more. Like, you don't get the movie, you don't get the movie theater experience, but you get to actually enjoy the movie more.
I ain't got, you know, if I gotta take a piss, I ain't gonna be like, damn, I don't wanna miss like 5 minutes.
Exactly, bro.
I can pause, go use the bathroom, you know what I'm saying? I will say this about this movie, though, and this is one thing that a lot of our generation, we have a problem with. For a lot of people who said they didn't understand it, how many of you niggas was on your phone while you watched? Put the fucking phone down. And even myself, I caught myself doing it a couple times. I might be on Twitter or IG returning a text. I look up, I done missed 4 minutes, and now I'm lost. And now I gotta rewind it. You gotta put your phone down for a couple minutes.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those, like you said, this is one of those movies you gotta lock in, because it's the way it twists and turn, and they drop little hints here and there. And then even like when he was talking to the scientists about the bullets, and she was like, don't worry about that. That's not important. Like,
right.
That was kind of a metaphor for the whole movie. Like, y'all, you concerned with the wrong shit. Because, right.
Exactly. And so it's just kind of like, so when I saw it the first time, I'm not going to lie, I was confused the entire fucking movie until the last scene. You know, you have like an aha moment, a light bulb moment on the last scene where, well, of course, we'll get into the characters in a minute, but when Robert Pattinson's character told John David, this is the beginning of our story, but it's like the end of our story, but I look at it as the end of a long friendship. And I was like, oh shit, like it instantly clicked
right
there. And then as soon as I was like, that was fucking genius. Just as soon as it hit. But even though I was confused for 2 hours and 30 minutes, the action was so fucking crazy that I was on the edge of my seat. So it's like, I didn't want to be like, oh, I'm lost, I'm gonna turn this shit off. It was like thrilling, you know what I'm saying? And like you said, well, I can only imagine what it was like an IMAX. Like, I probably would have felt like I was in that motherfucker.
Exactly, G. Because for me, like you said, when you really, as you get to notice what the character, and like, even with like the red and the blue, you know, the blue was going forward, the red was going back, you know, knowing it, understanding like the people that had the oxygen mask, they were, you know, they were inverted, because you can't breathe when you're inverted, so you had to wear the oxygen mask. And then, like, just seeing everything come together, G. Like, it's no way you could watch it. Like, it's no way you could watch this movie one time,
and like it.
Yeah. Like, you damn near automatically are gonna hate it because, like you said, it's just straight. It's confusion, then a raw ass fight scene, then more confusion, then all right, some dope shit happened. But like, that's the whole pace of the movie. But once you really break it down, and then you see what's going on, it makes perfect. Even the fucking name Tenet. It's Tenet both ways, forward and backward.
Exactly. Like, even if you look at the way the poster is, it's like they got two different sides of John David's character. And I don't want to sound like a gatekeeper on here, even though my brother calls me a gatekeeper every time we record this fucking podcast. But for people who just like to go to the movies and shit, this ain't your type of movie. It's just not. If you just go in there, you're like, I'm just looking to have a good time. I want a movie that's easy to digest. This ain't the movie for fucking you. No, you're somebody who loves stories and try to figure out, okay, you want to look shit up, this is the film for you.
Exactly. If you want plot twist, if you want shit, like you said, you have to Google it after the fact. Like, okay, what the fuck was going on? Like, things like that, then this is definitely the movie. Like, this reminds me, because like I won't even say before this, my favorite Christopher Nolan movie is Inception.
Yeah, Inception. Inception's a mind fuck too, though.
Exactly. I feel like that movie's perfect, though. Like, I've seen that movie probably 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
And, like, every time I watch it, it's like, oh, shit. And so, with Nolan, like, I came in expecting that. And so, even though, like I said, I was confused the first time, I was like, all right, let me check this out again. So, like you said, bro, if this is one of those, if you're looking for something to just watch, laugh a couple times, good fight scene, like, this ain't what's bro who made Bad Boys?
Michael Bay.
This ain't a Michael Bay film.
And I was gonna say that too. Like, I can't stand Michael Bay movies. Like, I have a fiery passion against Michael Bay. I think Bad Boys 2 is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. Like, I'm somebody who I need plot. I fell asleep during John Wick 3. And I know I'm looking weird at that. I do not like the John Wick franchise. I don't want to see niggas getting killed all fucking. Where's the story? This nigga went crazy because they shot his dog.
Yeah, John Wick, like, John Wick 1 was cool, you know, revenge path, y'all killed my dog, that's the only thing I had left for my wife, but now it's just excessive. It's like, all right, he's just a murder machine, we get it, my nigga. Like, that's just the whole movie.
On part 3, I was like, okay, we got Halle Berry fine ass in there, okay, what else we got here?
So, and then my issue is, they never reload, like.
No, ever.
They never reload, bro. He could have a Glock 43, supposed to have 6 bullets in it. That nigga will shoot that bitch 25 times.
Yeah.
And then just keep going and find another gun.
Give me action and story. That's why the first Bad Boys is so good. And that's why the third Bad Boys is so good. I thought the third Bad Boys was going to be really... I want to say I had low hopes for it. I had low hopes for it. Unlike Coming to America, which even worse than what I thought it was going to be.
It wasn't, but okay.
Bad Boys 3 exceeded it. We can get into that. It's a movie podcast. We can talk about that real quick. Before we get into that, I want to get my take out of our Coming to America real quick.
Okay.
So this is not like Ball Don't Lie, we talk about football. This is a movie podcast. We can talk about whatever. And we weren't going to do a podcast on this fucking movie anyway. When I saw the trailer, first of all, I have this rule that says leave classics the fuck alone. With music, with movies, like, thank God Hove never did a Reasonable Doubt 2. What was Hove's one of the biggest problems? He made a Blueprint 2. And so even though it's a different album, in your head, you're comparing it to the first one. So I'm like, Coming to America is probably, if not a top 5, top 10 black movie all time. At the very least. And I feel like for our age group, if you're born from 1985 to 1995, that's, I feel like, a mandatory watch. Maybe I'll say 1980 to 1995. It's a mandatory watch. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, I wasn't expecting too much. I was like, okay. I feel like Dolomite was good. So Eddie's last movie I really enjoyed. I was like, you know, just have me a little funny. I know they're probably gonna make it up to date. He gonna have a son, but just make it a little funny. Within the first 30, actually the first 5 minutes, when this nigga Eddie said on fleek, I was like, yeah. I was like, come on, man.
I feel you, but see, I think I liked it, but I say what they did was they turned a rated R cult classic into a family film.
Which is one of the problems I had.
I mean, I could see that being a problem, but I get why they did it, because the man, it's been what, 25 years? Been 30 years. The man had 3 daughters, so he has a whole ass family.
Yeah, his daughters are grown as hell.
Yeah, what I didn't like was the I just don't like Leslie Jones.
I don't either. I'm
sorry. Like, I just, you know, when you sometimes you can't criticize motherfuckers, people try to call you out and shit, but no. Anything she and I, you could say that shit, but her, and I feel like the son was corny. Like, had they had a better actor be the son,
he was, I think it would have went off. Was that weird movie with Lakeith and Danny Glover?
Yeah. The one where they working at the play. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that one.
But nah, bro, because I like how they took the old story and, like, even they had the highlights from the old story chopped in there and they tried to weave a new one with it, but he basically did the same thing his pops did.
There was 3 things I liked about the movie. I'll give the 3 things I liked. One, the actress who plays Lisa, still fine.
Ugh.
Still fine. Even her 50, still fine. Number 2, I'm very happy that James Earl Jones and John Amos are still with us. That's the other thing I find. And number 3, the end scene, we gonna spoil this part. If you ain't seen the movie by now, fuck you. You know, it's been out 10 days, whatever. At the end scene, the marriage scene with Akeem's son, with the lady who's from Zamunda or whatever. I like the fan service at the end of it. You know what I'm saying? But it had the singer from the first one. You know what I'm saying? They had all those different things. To me, it made it a lot more enjoyable. But I think just I didn't like how they tried to make it a family movie. I didn't like how they tried to, you know, it just was really like corny and forced. I feel like they were like doing a lot of up-to-date slang and shit like that. Like, we don't need to hear, you know, you being all these niggas who old as shit trying to use younger slang, you know what I'm saying, so that we can fucking, you know, be more accustomed to it. I didn't like that. But at the end of the day, I have this rule where it says if white people can make mediocre films, why can't we? So, Eddie, get that back.
Let the OGs come back, you know, get a couple jokes off. Like you said, it had its cringeworthy moments. Like, I didn't, and one thing I didn't like, I thought it was dope as fuck when James Earl Ray was alive and like, yo, we gonna have my funeral while I'm alive.
Yeah.
I didn't like that this nigga died at the funeral. I think that was a bit ridiculous. Like, they could have had him die the next
day. That part was a little funny to me because it was kind of like Coming to America when a nigga actually dies at the funeral. But, and then they had like the performances, what I thought was pretty funny. But yeah. I just think like, by the way, I knew exactly how this movie was gonna end. The second that he found out he had a child and his daughter got upset, I was like, you finna give me a 2021 ass ending.
Yeah. No, you knew it, bro. Even when they jumped, when they went in the barbershop and Eddie was like, my grandson is my granddaughter now.
Yes.
Like,
they were sliding
new narratives in there.
Yep,
so like,
yep.
Once his daughter, like, they, you know, she was beating his ass when they was training and all that, I'm like, okay, she wants to be queen, but this king shit is gonna, you know, throw a wrench in everything.
They OD with the Black Panther CGI too, though.
No, yeah, that was
amazing. They really OD with the Black Panther CGI. When they were training,
Rick Ross has the worst African accent I ever heard in my life.
But this is why I honor it though, because that was his house. So yeah. If you gonna use my house, I'm gonna be.
I gotta get a cameo off.
Yeah,
I gotta get a cameo off definitely.
So I give Ross on that. Wesley Snipes was good. I thought Wesley Snipes was pretty funny in there. I thought Wesley was pretty funny. The Mutombo cameo, I was like, all right, I guess, nigga.
But no, if you live in Atlanta, that hit for you. Because, nigga, you'll be surprised when you see Mutombo.
Okay,
I've seen Mutombo
at least
30 times.
Okay.
I've seen Mutombo at least 30 times in my life. Like, you run into bro all the time, and he big as hell, so you can't miss him.
Okay.
It's like, what the fuck? That's Mutombo. But
okay.
Yeah, no,
and then it's like, so as soon as I saw that the daughter got angry, I was like, okay, I know where this is going. We're finna get into the why a woman can't be a king thing, and she's gonna end up being the king. Like, I saw it coming, which is cool. I understand what we know what time it is, but I just didn't think it was that funny. I didn't like it, but you know, Eddie, I fuck with Eddie. Eddie's one of the goats, you know what I'm saying? It was good to see him and Arsenio in a movie together again, and it was good that it had all of the main cast was there.
Yeah. They still had their comedic chemistry. That's
yeah.
Dope to see after all these years.
I dead ass did not know Louis Anderson was still alive. I'm not going to hold
me
you.
Either, G. I thought he died years ago.
I legit thought that nigga died. So it was good to see them, man. But let's get back to Tenet. We're going to usually on this podcast, I do like a scene by scene breakdown. But I'm not doing that with a 2.5 hour fucking movie, bro. So what we're going to do is we're going to, you know what I'm saying, break down the overall plot of it, you know, on some of the important scenes to us and, you know, things that we thought were, you know, things that stood out. So basically, man, this movie is based around a CIA agent and he called himself the protagonist. This guy is played by John David Washington. They don't ever give this nigga's real name in the fucking movie, which was kind of fucking hilarious to me. So he's calling the protagonist. It's also, Robert Pattinson, his character's name, Neil. But it starts off like it's in an opera house. It's in a big opera house. It's like there's no short. Like, they start off with the action 2 seconds into this shit.
Yeah, they get straight to it. And like you said, even with that action scene, like you said, if you watch the movie just front to back, unless you have like a really good memory, because you know most people have a short attention span, you're doing shit on your phone and whatnot, you're not gonna remember how important that scene is because you see your first inverted person in that scene.
Yeah, exactly. So like in the first scene, they like, it's like an operation at this opera house, man. They're going in there to steal something. I forgot what it was. It was like a
last piece of the algorithm.
And there's like a whole bunch of soldiers that go in there and like the crowd kind of like freezes in time, which was like, nobody, I don't know if they were asleep. I don't think they put some sleeping gas in there or something.
Yeah, they gassed the room and everybody fell asleep.
So now you got John David and all them, they're trying to get this shit. And like, he ends up getting shot at. But there's a masked soldier. He's got a red trinket. Now, this is something you got to pay attention to. And he saves his life by basically by unfiring a bullet from the gunman. And you look at, like, what type of Matrix ass shit is this? So basically, once this is out, he gets pretty much kidnapped by some big old Russian dudes or some shit like that. Where he tried to kill himself, but basically he escaped from it. Like, they had the nigga sitting on a train.
Torturing him. It was Satter's men.
Yeah.
Because he's looking for the last piece of the algorithm as well to, you know, do what he wanna do, which ties everything together. But his men grab John Washington's character, who is interested. His name is Protagonist the entire movie. He doesn't get a name, it's just Protagonist. And then, you know, when they get to the briefing, and they say you have multiple protagonists, multiple antagonists, they really start to let you know that, you know, these two time, well, it's all one time frame, but it's just being attacked from two different directions.
Yeah. So pretty much I'm trying to put this in like English for people if you haven't seen it, I don't even know what the hell you listen to this.
I think it's one of those, even if you haven't seen it and somebody break it down, you could still watch it and catch shit. Like, it's not one of those movies that it gets ruined if you break it down. If anything, it's going to make the movie better for you. Because it's one of those movies, if you watch it once, you can be like, what the fuck I just watched?
Exactly. So it's like, basically the protagonist is being recruited by this organization. The organization is called Tenet, which is the whole name of the fucking movie. And so basically, he is getting... the whole thing is being explained to him by this scientist. And she's basically explaining how time is moving backward while moving forward. And she's like showing the bullet thing to him. And he's trying to figure out like, what the fuck is this? So she says she believes these type of bullets are being made in the future with other type of objects that are part of a war in the future. So pretty much the protagonist, he goes on to try to find this guy named Neil. He meets Neil through a contact of his in the CIA, and they find out that these bullets belong to a kind of like an arms dealer. Her name was Priya Singh. And what was her husband's name?
What was his name?
Well, I can't remember his name, because that was the nigga they asked for. Because I don't think they knew that she was the boss dog.
Yeah, because you know India, like, you know, we talk about how sexist America is, but other countries are much worse. And so she basically uses her husband as a front to the business.
Exactly.
She says a masculine face is important in this country. You know, so her husband, I'm trying to pull up the cast of characters' names now, but her husband, he was just the front for the business.
Sanjay Singh, that was his name.
Yeah. And that was another dope scene. Like, we talked about the action that Christopher Nolan puts in the scene. Like, they had this whole bungee scene up the building and shit.
Cold.
You know,
that shit was hard.
But they literally ran up the building.
So pretty much he meets Neil, Robert Pattinson, in like this, like, I feel like it was like a hotel lobby or something. And Neil already knows so much about this nigga. Like, oh yeah, you don't drink on your work. He's like, yeah, how'd you know that? And like, Neil smelled like, oh, I need to meet Sanjay Singh. He said, okay, this is where we gonna meet him at. So basically they attack this like hotel that they're staying in. They attack the hotel and they pull the gun out. I think they pull out the gun out on Sanjay. And then Priya comes in, like, just said what you said. Like, oh, yeah, I'm really the boss dog behind this. He's just the front because people aren't going to respect the woman as the top of this shit. And basically, she tells him that all the cartridges were purchased by a Russian kind of like gangster. His name was Andrei Sator. You know what I'm saying? So this is another important character here. And just even like the scene we talked about where Neo knows so much about the protagonist, it's gonna make sense at the end. So pretty much when the protagonist goes to London, he's like in this very nice, you know, restaurant, which, you know, you always watch the movies with a real nice restaurant, they got like jazz playing, and you're like, all right, somebody's gonna get fucked up in here.
Yeah,
like in every fucking movie. And so the protagonist meets Satter's estranged wife. Her name is Kat. And basically, she's like an art appraiser, and she basically forged a Goya drawing, and, you know, basically she is telling the protagonist all about this.
Yeah, actually, she was forced to do it by Satter because now he holds that over her head to keep her hostage because she wants to divorce the man because she knows he's a maniac.
Yes.
She wants to leave him. And he was like, well, you can leave your son. You can leave our son, but you can go, but leave our son.
And that's what he has over. And that's why she's doing this shit, because she wants to see her fucking kid.
Yeah, because if she doesn't, he can just say that, oh, well, she helped me. She forged this painting that I bought.
Yep.
Because she's the certifier. And so she knew it was fake.
Yeah.
And so it'll look like she helped defraud her husband. So he was like, I'll send your ass to jail if you leave.
Exactly. Basically, when they're in this like restaurant or whatever, like I guess Satter's guys come to attack the protagonist and he ends up kicking all their ass. And so she's in the car, like, what the fuck? What type of dude is this? So basically, man, like Neil and the protagonist are trying to, you know, steal this drawing from the painting or from this like airport. And this is where it gets trippy again, too, because it's like, the shit that, I don't know if you can explain this better to me, like the shit that was weak, they could see the shit going on in the airport while it was happening.
Yeah, because of the way the inversion worked, like you said, it's basically one of the breakdowns I read, it said, is like, think about like a claw, like where it's closing in on both sides.
Yeah.
And so, in like prime example, like the protagonist thinks he's being recruited by this organization, but whole time we find out he created the organization.
Exactly.
He is the head of it.
Exactly.
And so that's just another example of it's just the same timeline being shown to you at the same time, like from two different directions. And so when they're in there, like they first, you know, they have to, you know, pretend to be art dealers and they're coming to store this painting. And this is a place that's called the Fremont. And it's a port and it's where a lot of people store, you know, very valuable artifacts and whatnot. And it's also pretty interesting about the movie, because the armed forces that guard the joint are called Raster, like, which is basically Satter's name backwards.
Okay, that's interesting to say.
Like the security team that guards all this shit is actually the antagonist's name backwards.
Okay.
And so they go in there basically casing the joint to figure out, okay, what happens when these are the doors we need to go to get where we need to go. And so when, like you said, when they get in there, it's crazy because
it's like they're seeing the battle in two different directions.
Yes. But not only that, what we find out is like it's them. Like, because remember, Neil, he pulls the guy's mask off, and at first we don't see it. He pulls the guy's mask off, he looks, and then lets the guy go. But then later on we see that reveals himself.
Exactly.
And he's like, oh, okay, that's my inverted self.
Exactly.
And then he lets him take off. And like
That was another
crazy scene.
Like,
bro,
the way it looked, it was one of the best scenes in the movie, because it's like you fighting yourself.
But exactly. Like, the whole time he's fighting. Right. He knows the moves that are coming.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he needs to get the information to keep going for the next part of it. And it's just...
But, like, the whole time, the protagonist don't know what the fuck is going on. So he's confused. Right. Neo knows everything that's going on. So that's why his timing is so perfect. You know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. He knows when the next punch is coming. He knows why these, you know, masked men are just coming out of nowhere. It's like they're being sucked in backwards.
Exactly.
It's like the craziest shit that you could possibly see.
And even the camera work is crazy.
Yeah.
So you got to really shout out Christopher Nolan, because, like, the way he directed this film is really like, you talk about all the art in the film, this is really like an art piece. Like, because the way the timelines are taken apart and put back together. And then, like you said, at the end, it's really one of those eureka moments where you're like, oh shit, that was actually dope as fuck.
Yeah. And then, you know, next part is then Kat introduces the protagonist, the Sator, at the Amalfi Coast, which is in Italy. That's like some rich nigga shit that I know nothing about. One day I hope to know about that. Basically Kat introduces him to him and learns that the drawing is still intact. Sator doesn't really like the protagonist vibes. Like, they had like a dinner and shit, and he basically like, you know, this nigga real full of himself. And I don't think he liked how close he was getting this cat too. There was a lot of flirty banter going on between Kat and the protagonist. And so basically Sator's like, I'm gonna fucking kill this nigga. You know what I'm saying? You know, I think there was even one part where like protagonist is following Sator to see what this nigga's really about. And Sator was beating some nigga up in the back. And then they caught him looking at him and they beat him up. And they kind of like make a deal. Like, okay, protagonist, like, I'll get you this shit for you, but you gotta stop. You gotta leave Kat the fuck alone. You gotta let her see a kid and all that. So like He's like, all right, yeah, whatever, cool. And so basically the next day, they're like on like I don't know if it was bikes or it was on a little smaller boat.
It was a racing boat.
Yeah,
like I said, some old rich nigga shit. It's one of those speed boats, two-sided speed boats. You gotta, you know, pull the sail and all that extra shit. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So I don't know if it was like a crazy wave of coming or something. And Kat found an opportunity. She's like, look, I can kick this nigga off and drown this nigga right here. So she basically tries to drown Satter, but Protagonist saves this nigga life because the little partnership they came together. And Kat was very, very upset with that nigga about that shit. And so pretty much they strike this partnership up to retrieve the case that, you know, contains this plutonium-241 is what it was called. And so at the same time, during this whole time, it's like goes back and forth from what's going on there. It's like this conversation the Protagonist is having with Neil. And like they're really like planning how they're going to go about getting this shit. And so pretty much the Protagonist, Neil, ambush a convoy and they steal the case, which contains the lost artifact that they had. And so at the same time, they're the whole thing is like they're ambushed by Satter. It's kind of like a crazy car chase.
Yeah, because I'm about to say, because like you said, when Satter, when he caught the Protagonist spying on him, but people didn't realize the dude who he beat for having the gold was the same dude who helped him at the Fremont. Like, okay. if you remember on the plane, dude snuck a piece of gold, but that was Satter's gold. Like, this is Satter been planning this shit all along because he's, you know, like he said, he's really mastered this inversion shit going back and forth. And then you peep, when they stole the final piece of the algorithm, you heard him on the phone say, tell me everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Because once they got it and you got the highway scene, then it turned into kind of like, it reminded me of the Matrix, Reloaded. And then you see Satter is actually inverted and he's already there. So like, he knew that they were going to cross him.
Well, it kind of looked like the crazy car chase in a Winter Soldier too. When hopped on that car and Captain America and Falcon were like, them niggas ain't know how to drive a fucking car. It was kind of like that. Like he put Cat in like that range over by a fucking cell. So the Protagonist, this nigga trying to stop the car with his hand, which is like crazy. So I was like, no car is stopping that quickly because you put your hand on the brake, nigga. Yeah. And this nigga like floating like he in outer fucking space. So pretty much they capture both of them. And so like he can see himself being captured, like rewind, while Satter is like torturing Cat.
Yeah, and that's where the red and blue comes back into play.
Yes, exactly.
Because you know, on their side is blue because he's inverted and he's actually got the mask on. So like, even when he shoots her, he catches the bullet. Like, you already see the bullet holes against the window.
Yeah, and inverted is a key word here because the inverted Satter. This is gonna. I feel like I'm on like Gruden's camp. I'm like I'm breaking down the play. The inverted Satter shoots Cat with an inverted round. And while the non-inverted Satter is on Protagonist's ass, like, what fucking car is it in? What car did you have the artifact in? So it's like Protagonist is talking to two different Satters at the same time.
Yeah, because the room he's in, he has a phone so he can talk to him. Like when you're hearing it, you hear them talking backwards. But when you hear what he's saying on the phone, you hear it, you know, the way we talk now. But they're actually standing next to the inversion machine.
Yeah.
So after he shoots her, he brings his ass in the room and comes over there. And then it's like, yo, no, is this really where it's at?
Right.
I'm about to go get this shit. Like, don't lie to me.
And so at that exact time, Neil and the rest of the tenant operatives, they come in and rescue Protagonist pretty much. And then Satter is kind of like, oh, shit. And he escapes through the little turnstile they got over there. I'm reading off my notes. I took notes when I was watching. Because I was like, no way I'm remember this shit just off the top of my head. So basically the group, they take Cat, they run her through the turnstile, inverting and reversing her bullet room, you know, so she can be good. So the now inverted Protagonist, he decides, yo, I'm going back in time, you know what I'm saying, to try to get the artifact before Satter gets it. But he's intercepted by Satter when he goes back to try to get it. So now the Protagonist's car is overturned and catches fire. But Neil saves him. And then he basically tells him, Protagonist had enough. Like, yo, how the fuck do you know where I'm going to be at all the damn time? Like, are you working with them? What the fuck is up? Neil basically like, look, I'm a member of Tenet. You know what I'm saying? This is what it is. This is how I know about the shit. So now Protagonist, Neil, and Cat, they put together like a plan to travel back in time, back to the Freeport. You know what I'm saying? So they can kind of, you know, Protagonist can go back into his old self and pretty much try to get the algorithm before Sador tries to end the world with it.
And what's dope about that is, you know, as you're watching the scene, they start showing shots from outside of the boat, and you notice that the boats are going backwards.
Yeah.
And so, like, for any part of time that they want to go to, you have to actually spend that amount of time getting there. So, like, the reason you see them having that conversation on the boat and the boat's going backward is because they went back a week to what happened.
Yeah. And then also, like, when they come up with this plan, Kat, Neil, protagonist, they get back up with Priya, and she basically explains that Sator is collecting all these artifacts to assemble an algorithm which can catastrophically invert all of Earth. And then that's when Kat tells everybody that Sator's dying from pancreatic cancer. And so basically they learn that Sator's using kind of like a dead man switch to like trigger the entire fucking algorithm. Yeah. So Kat says that she believes Sator will go back in time to try to commit suicide during their vacation they had together in Vietnam so that the world would die with him in his last happy moment. So,
which is crazy. And because also when we had that boat moment where he says that his organization, because we talk about Tenet's organization from the future, his organization was sent there to save the Earth, because basically global warming had destroyed the Earth.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people didn't peep that, but when he was talking to her, he was like, she was like, why would they send you here to do this? And he said, because their rivers dried up and some other shit. And like basically, you know what I'm saying? What we always talk about with global warming, how future generations, a lot of people don't give a fuck, but if things continue on the path,
good for us.
It's not going to be good for them. You know? Like, we may not be here.
Yeah, but you might enjoy your 70-degree days in March, but trust me, you won't enjoy them shits later.
Right, exactly. When everything is dried the fuck up, and we all eat artificial food, it's not going to be fun.
We're looking like I Am Legend outside.
Right, so they slid that in there because, you know, we talk about narratives and shit, but they also stuck that in there. But for which scene were we on?
We're on the one where basically about that Sator was going to kill himself at the last moment he was happy. And so protagonist Neil and Kat and the rest of Tenet, they decide to travel back to that exact day. And Kat like disguises herself as her past self. So basically they won't know it's a different Kat. You know what I'm saying? So basically when she's doing that, she's supposed to try to keep Sator long enough to keep Tenet from long enough so Tenet can get the algorithm. Tenet tracks the algorithm to Sather's hometown. It's like in Siberia, and it's got like hella fucking, you know, bodyguards. Right, and I even think like the protagonist like gets killed and like did he like rewind it or some shit like that.
Yeah. I think his inverted self saved his current self.
Yes,
because remember he dove in front of the bullet.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Because he's about to get shot. Exactly. But yeah, because and that was another thing that was interesting, because it was two versions of him going at the same time, and you're seeing him try to get the last piece of the algorithm to stop that, while also they were on the other side. So
yeah, so it's like they, you know, they're tracking in Siberia, so they launched a temporal pincer movement, and it's a non-inverted red team troops and inverted blue team troops, and they're trying to make an assault all at the same time. So there's a part of the team with an inverted blue team soldier. He has a red trinket. He sacrifices himself to the protagonist and the rest of the tent. Now, we're going to know who this guy is later. So meanwhile, you know, while they're in Vietnam, Kat kills Sator just as the protagonist gets the algorithm. So all that shit happens at one time. None of them know what's going on because they're hoping that it's all timed at the right time. And so wasn't there like a boat coming she was looking at? Did it have her son on it?
It was her son coming back to the boat. But like real quick, just as much because like what you just talk about what you just mentioned, and you really gotta look shit up with Christopher Nolan because he really drops these little Easter eggs in it. Yeah, exactly. Like a pincer movement, I looked this shit up, is a military maneuver that involves attacking an enemy from both sides simultaneously, closing like a lobster or crab's claws.
Damn.
So it was like the Tenet's pincer, it was the two teams attacking the location from both directions in time. You know what I'm saying? And so like you said, that's why he was like, our job is we're going to fail. We want this bomb to go off because they're doing something on the other side that's going to get the shit out of there and then we good.
Yeah. So, and this is the end of the movie. This is where it started to make sense to me. This is when it was all the light bulbs were starting to come on. So protagonist Neil and the rest of 10, they break up the Ives, that was his name. Ives, the other big nigga from Tenet.
Yeah.
They break up the algorithm in part ways. Protagonist noticed that Neil is wearing the red trinket. And so he's like, hold on, like I've seen this shit before. And basically Neil reveals that he was recruited by the protagonist in the future. And that this mission is from his perspective. And so basically, he was the nigga who was in, Neil was the guy in the opera room who saved protagonists. Yep. And so he's like, that's how I knew your every move, because you fucking recruited me. I knew that this was already fucking happening. And so when I saw that, I was like, holy fucking shit. Now there's a scene early in the movie that we didn't talk about, but there was a scene early in the movie where protagonist was trying to talk to Kat. And this is her son. She's picking up her son from school. And so at the end of this movie, they go back to that scene and the kid is fucking Neil. So now this isn't 100% confirmed because, you know, Nolan's one of those where if you look at it, it could possibly be Neil. Like, you know how niggas, you know how niggas like to describe the Sopranos anyway. If you think Tony died.
Yeah,
that's your opinion. Like
they caught him slipping when he finally said that it was the death scene.
Yeah, he clearly revealed that. Right, shit. He clearly got his brain splat across them damn onion rings in the finale. You know what I'm saying? Like, so Neil was Kat's kid, and that's why he knew so much about it. Protagonist was the one who recruited him, and so like at the end of this movie, the end of the mission, Priya attempts to have Kat assassinated, but she is killed by the protagonist, who at the end realizes that he is the mastermind behind Tenet, behind the whole fucking thing. It was him.
Yeah, it was Gene. And like, I like this ending, even though the Neil part kind of leaves it open, but you know,
they always gonna leave it open to a possible.
It's kind of like Inception with the spinning top at the end.
Yeah.
Like when people for years argued about that, then he came out and said, no, it stopped. He was at home. He made it back.
I like how they wait like 10 years and like, y'all tell y'all niggas what happened now.
Like, yeah, I appreciate shit like that. That's why, like I told you before y'all started Cinema with the Guys, like as a nigga who binge watched The Sopranos, I didn't have a problem with the ending because I know Tony got whacked. So like, well, I necessarily didn't need to see it because I fucked with Tony, like, so it was cool.
I couldn't stand Tony. Like I like Tony Bart. This is with the Sopranos in it, of course. And I always say this: people say, "Why are you talking about the ending so far, nigga?" That show been over for 15 fucking years. If you ain't seen the end of it by now, I don't know what to fucking tell you. But one thing I just didn't like, that Tony was like, he was a shit fucking human being. He was a bad father. He was a bad husband. He was bad to his homies. I deserve to see him get his brains fucking blown out.
But this is my thing. He's a fucking mafia boss. What did y'all expect this nigga to be? A model citizen? Like, no, he's a scumbag. Like, Tony was Tony. He was who he was supposed to be. That's what I never understood. People like, oh my God, he's a fucking Italian mobster. I expected him to be racist. I expect him
to have multiple
women on the side. You know, the racist, the few episodes, that shit was fucking hilarious.
I'm sorry. What did Dave Chappelle say? Is racism killing me? Like, when he called that nigga a smoke, nigga, I was on the fucking floor. I'm sorry.
That shit, yeah. But no, Tony was everything I expected him to be when I started watching that show. Hitting people with his car and shit. Chasing motherfuckers down.
Like, I always feel like if you watch finale or a movie after it came out, you might have a greater appreciation for the ending because you weren't there when it happened, you know what I'm saying? And like, I'm gonna give like a even with the Seinfeld, I know a lot of Seinfeld's like the most, I think everybody hated that fucking family. They still even make jokes about it now. But if you watch, after I've watched the show a couple times, I understand why people didn't like the Seinfeld in it. But at the same time, if you watch the show, it's the only sitcom ever that never had a serious episode, ever. Yeah. Fresh Princess had serious episodes where Carlton got on Molly or Will got shot. Martin's had a serious episode. Literally every sitcom has had a serious episode. This show never had a serious episode, so why would it get serious on the last fucking episode? It don't make any fucking sense. So as somebody who wasn't one of the people, one of the 72 million people who were watching it in 1998 and they were upset, I can appreciate. You know what I'm saying? So
Go ahead. Real quick, I feel like when you binge watch a show, you have a better appreciation for the storyline. You don't get the same anticipation as somebody who's watching it year by year.
I get it.
Because, you know, for example, with Game of Thrones, like, when you run through Game of Thrones straight through, like when you run through it straight through, it's like, yo, this is a really great storyline, really great buildup, and then the shit just falls off a cliff. But it makes it even worse when you realize it's motherfuckers who waited
years,
weeks between episodes, years between seasons. Like Sansa. Arya left Winterfell season one, didn't come back to season six.
Didn't come back to season. Was it season seven?
Season six, it was six or seven.
It was seven because remember she killed Walter Frey.
Yeah,
on the first episode of season seven.
Right, yeah, because she killed the Freys and then came home.
Yeah.
So you gotta think, you've been watching that show and Shorty left like damn near episode two or three when they went to fucking when they went down to King's
Landing. Left in 2011. Came back to 2017. So basically, right,
that's crazy.
That's so like, that's high school and 2 years of college.
Yeah, so like that type of buildup, you don't get that same feeling when you binge watch a show. But as far as the storyline, you get a better appreciation.
I want to talk about that too. We've been talking about binging and like weekly releases on Cinema with Guys for the last couple of weeks. I think you're right. With binging, you can have more of a appreciation for the story, but at the same time, I like the weekly anticipation because it gives you something to look forward to and it gives conversation. But even if you look at WandaVision, there's people who are upset about that. Like, oh, we didn't get all the answers to that. Like, Endgame was the gift and the curse. Endgame, you know why we get it took what first MCU movie came out 2008, Iron Man. Endgame came out 2019. That's 11 years for you to get every answer from all them prior movies. So what the fuck make you think they gonna give you X-Men shit in the first fucking show of the new shit?
What I do like as far as like the weekly release of just binging. I actually like, I know you don't like shouting out your former employer, but I like what Amazon did with The Boys, giving you three episodes.
Yeah.
I think they did like 3-3-2 or something like that.
Yeah.
I like that format because I think it gives you enough to keep you in there, but it still adds that build up to it. Because like a lot of times, I'll binge a show in 2 days and be like, fuck, all right, what am I finna watch?
Right. Exactly. You feel empty when you get done. Like, it's like, damn.
Exactly.
But it doesn't give you time to come up with ridiculous theories. And Game of Thrones, to me.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
Is a show that I feel like, and don't get me wrong, I didn't like season eight. I'm not finna sit up and act like I liked season eight. But it wasn't because of the story. I didn't like season eight because I feel like it was rushed. Mm-hmm. If it would have been the regular 10-episode season, you give me 5 episodes of the White Walker battle and then 5 episodes of niggas actually trying to get the throne. People are mad that Dany got crazy. Like, motherfucker, have you watched the show? She lost her shit in season 2. Like,
she's a nut. Like, she was a fucking nut.
She showed crazy shit little by little every fucking year. You know what I'm saying? She was fucking her nephew. And it was like, please,
I wanted to keep it going.
I don't care. What?
She said, let's keep it just like this. No, what type of royal family shit is that? like what?
And on top of that, her father's the Mad King. Put two and two together. And even with Bran becoming the king, I feel like making John the king would have been too predictable. There's no way you could have let Dany crazy ass on the fucking throne. Yeah. Bran, the whole thing, Game of Thrones started because of what? Because Bran got pushed out of a fucking window.
Yeah.
He got pushed out. That's what started the Lannister Stark War, because he got pushed out of a fucking window. It's only right. And that's why the one-eyed raven, the three-eyed raven was chasing him the whole damn show.
Yeah.
He had the memories. So it was only right he became. But to go back to Tenet, it gives you like an open-ended ending, like to where you can possibly see, you know, maybe they'll do a movie or something where you can see actually protagonists actually recruiting Neo. Because at the end, it's like, oh shit, Neo was the fucking kid. Protagonist was basically doing his whole mission in reverse. For the entire fucking movie.
Yeah, like I said, I really liked it. And it's shout out to Christopher Nolan, because I mean, I don't know if they'll do a sequel.
He's so mad at the movie studio.
Yeah, he's furious.
Like, he's
Warner
fucking
Brothers
pissed right now. With Warner Brothers. Like even just off that, and he's like an artist. What we gotta understand about artists is they're so creative that they lack common people's regular people skills. You know what I'm saying? Like he might, and he's one of those filmmakers I feel like they're so against what's coming. And what I mean by like this, you can't fight the future, bro. Like, I think the funniest shit ever to me is Netflix is getting ready to put out a documentary on Blockbuster Folder.
That shit's crazy.
That shit is hilarious.
That shit is literally crazy.
And it's like Blockbuster didn't Blockbuster have an opportunity to buy Netflix?
Bro, that might go down as like one of the worst business decisions outside ever. of bro who sold his Apple stock early for like $8,000 or whatever it was. But this man, I mean, Blockbuster, Netflix said buy us for $50 million.
And Blockbuster said nah. Fucking steal, dog.
And then it went from Redbox to Netflix to they closed. Like, yeah. That shit is fucking crazy.
So basically what I'm telling Christopher Nolan is he don't want to accept it. And a lot of movie studios and directors don't want to accept it. The future is finna be this, bro. You're going to have the theater release and you're going to have the streaming release at the same time. I'm not saying theaters are going to become like CDs where we're not using that shit at all. I think there will always be an experience aspect to going to the theater, but that's going to be like a novelty thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that was already going to happen, but I think the pandemic sped it up.
Yeah, you're going to see more dine-in theaters where you know you can get your food and shit like that. Because even here, we have more theaters adding a VIP section where you could buy drinks and shit like that. So you'll still have that, but I agree. And like even for families and shit like that, if I got kids, I can go buy some snacks at the store. Save a lot of money because that shit is not cheap at the moment.
Exactly. And if you got kids, they got, daddy, I got to use the bathroom. Like, and you're going to be mad as hell you spent $90 and you got to get out and kids use the bathroom a lot.
I just remember when I was a kid at the show, like me and my mom used to go to the show at Four City and we had watched like 2-3 movies. Mm-hmm. She knew like, we're not coming back to this bitch because this nigga is all over the place. So like you got to get it in. But if you can just stream them at the house, that changes the whole thing.
Four City before it was a walking lick.
Man.
Nigga, you need to have a pistol. You going in the fucking Four City parking lot now, nigga. Like.
The only time I see Four City is I'm driving past going to the motherfucking
I swear to God, I ain't never fuck that. I think the last movie I saw Four City was like, it was either Batman and Robin or it was Star Wars Episode 2. One, it was something that came out in 98 or 99. That's the last time I went to the Four City movie theater. Yeah. All right.
And no, my auntie low key was the manager of Foot Locker over there, so we'll go over there and steal shoes all the time.
Exactly, man.
I miss those days, nigga. Four City was a special place, G. Now that shit is just scumbag city, boy. Do not go.
Nigga, we used to go, it was three places niggas would go to on half days. If you're a Chicago public school student, you know about half days. Niggas was either going to get some pussy, niggas was either going to Four City Mall, just walk around. Niggas never bought anything. Niggas either in the food court trying to holler at bitches. Niggas was still
at Lids. I don't know what it was, G. Everybody was at Lids. Lids was lit at every fucking mall, G. Niggas. No matter where you went,
Lids was the spot. Like, oh, nigga, you see the socks and niggas always look at the same hats. Like, nigga, it's the same fucking hat, bro.
You, if you ain't got the 35, put it down, nigga.
And nigga, $35 when you in high school is a lot of fucking money.
Oh, yeah, I had to get a job to get shit like that.
I go to the super mall, nigga. That was a super mall on like 49th Archie we used to go to, nigga. Hit you the 2 for $30? Finish $30, nigga, be good.
Oh,
yeah.
Now, that's when I moved to the Birds. Niggas start going to Swap-A-Rama. Oh, nigga, there's so much fake shit in there.
If you're in LA, then this is like the swap meet, the Slauson swap meet.
Yeah, this is exactly what it's like. You can get sounds for your car, get some fake ones, get you a gold chain.
Get you a gold chain. Nigga, I made SUH Entertainment dog tags for the whole crew, G. You couldn't tell us we weren't Rockefeller, bro. Every nigga had, ask Pappy. Pappy had one. Everybody had one, G. Everybody had one. So I would give this movie, I'm going to give it 4 stars out of 5. I thought it was very entertaining.
Yeah, I give it 4 out of 5. I would have to put the disclaimer on it. You got to watch it more than once.
Yes, you have to.
I would definitely give it 4 out of 5 stars.
I give it 4 out of 5, man. Give a shout out to Christopher Nolan. John Davis been on a little hot streak, man. John Davis been on a little hot streak.
I was about to say he had the first theater release, and also Malcolm and Marie was the first movie filmed during COVID.
What'd you think about Malcolm and Marie?
I told you I'm not with the toxic bullshit.
Oh, yeah, but yeah.
I think for the
art piece. If you just look at it from an art perspective.
It was a good art piece, you know, the going back and forth, but it was just like, you know, because my whole thing is good communication can stop a lot of bullshit. And that movie was a prime example of that because she was feeling the type of way. He was feeling the type of way. They were both really narcissistic. And so they never really just had the conversation because she felt like the movie was about her when whole time it was a collection of
it was about her experience with other shit.
And but instead of telling her that beforehand, he waited till the time we in the argument. Now I'm finna just kill your ass with it. Like this bitch. And this shit was dirty. Like,
this is my thing about it, man. Like, by the way, y'all getting 3 movie reviews in 1 podcast. Which is really good, because I wanted to talk about these movies, but not like dedicate a whole episode to these shits.
Yeah.
But first of all, I love anything Zendaya's in. Like, she doesn't know that she's gonna have my children one day, but yeah. she got the height that I don't got, so I can at least probably get me like a maybe like a baseball player, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe a baseball player,
like 5'9", 5'10". You ain't gonna make the league at that height. But you know what I'm saying? You can play some Major League Baseball.
You're going to go to school for free, nigga.
Like, right. You're going to go to school for free. You know what I'm saying? We can finesse with shit. Your mama actress. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully, I'll be popping in some type of capacity. You know what I'm saying? So that's how we're going to plan it out. But I think she's a great actress. I think she's one of the best bright young actresses out in the game right now. So I felt this was the first time, first role she did, where I kind of looked at it like, oh, she's like an adult. Now, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think she's like 25, yeah. 24, 25, some yeah. shit like that.
Yeah, I think Euphoria was her first real step yeah. outside of the Disney shit. And then now with this, so you're really seeing the versatility. And she's actually, we already knew this, but she's a really good actress.
Really good actress. Even in Spider-Man, she's playing like a fucking 18-year-old, 17-year-old or some shit like that.
Yeah. And Hollywood has this weird thing with casting adults as high school
kids. Oh, nigga. There's like, I think there's a TV show, Grown-ish. There's like a chick who's like 32. She's playing a college student. I'm like...
Nas cousin.
Shorty no, not from, her. She 21.
No, I'm saying no. I know she 21, but I'm saying that's her show.
Yeah, it's her show. Yeah, it's like
a bunch of grown ass niggas playing. Yeah.
So yeah, even niggas on Different World was like in their 30s. Them niggas, I think like Jasmine Guy had to be like 30 when she was on there.
She probably mid to early 20s.
She like 50 something now. Didn't she just turn like 56 the other day? No, 59.
Oh, damn, maybe you're right.
She look like fucking Sven Gulli now, man. She used to be Jasmine Guy was like bad back in the day. She was like one of my original crushes, bro. And I was like 5. Yeah, she 58.
Yeah.
She 58.
58.
Yeah, so she was like in her 30s, bro. She was like 28, 29 and that type of thing. But so I thought it was like a good movie from the art perspective. I understand why some people didn't like it. It was triggering. Don't get me wrong. I feel like they like took parts from a lot of phone calls I've had of women I dated, or like I was like, damn, I've heard that shit before. Like,
yeah.
So I understand why I would be triggering. And it was petty too. Like, oh, that whole movie could have been avoided if the nigga would have just thanked her in the fucking speech.
That's it. That's what it came down to.
Before you know it, y'all talking about each other in like such a nasty way. Like, it's just, how do you even come back from the insults?
And that was the thing about the movie. Like, they would be shitting on each other. And then 5 minutes later, they're sitting there laughing, giggling.
Looking like they're eating
right. Exactly. So that, to your point, I've had people say to me, like, you know, I've had relationships like that.
Yeah.
Which is fucking insane. And like, please care for yourself, my nigga. Don't ever be in a relationship with shit like that is going down.
Hey, man, I'm not proud of the women I used to date.
Hey, bro. I just really be on my Libra shit, G. I'm about balance, bro. I can't do the bullshit.
Oh, well, you've been cool with the last woman I did. She loved that Zodiac shit. I'm like,
I can't. I feel like you want a nigga to lie about your seat. Like,
no, I don't lie. I don't lie. I legit don't be knowing. I didn't know to the last one I did. She's like, she asked me my birthday, but I'm like, October 26th. Oh, you a crazy nigga. I was like, for what? She's like, you a Scorpio. What the fuck does that mean?
I say this, like, certain Zodiac shit is real, but like the whole daily horoscope, you gonna have a bad day shit, that's bullshit.
That's my
like,
thing, man.
I don't believe shit like that.
I don't have a problem with that being an interest of yours. I feel like it's some cool shit to talk about in a date, but if you believe that shit, like I used to be at brunch with people and she would be like, oh, well, you, that's that Scorpio shit. You doing, no, you just fucking insane.
I know. Yeah, I hate people. Like, I hate people who do that shit. Like,
ain't got nothing to do with me.
Every time you do some fuck shit, it's an excuse. Oh, I'm just a Capricorn. No, nigga, no, shut up. You're just an asshole. Bitch, like, right? Why are you doing this? Like, what are you doing?
Stop using your birth month as an excuse to be a dickhead. Like, stop doing that. But it's just, you know, yeah, I understand it's a very toxic movie. It has a lot of, you know, communication. Communication is the number one thing that could have been avoided. But from an acting perspective, I felt it was pretty fucking good. I thought John David did his thing. I know he don't like people mentioning that his daddy is Denzel, which is hilarious to me because, nigga, I'd be... Yeah, you damn right. I'm Denzel, so nigga, I be using that everywhere. I be abusing.
Listen, black people, we need to use nepotism.
White people do it all the time.
You know how long I've been trying to work in sports and I run into motherfuckers, oh, my uncle is this person, my godfather is this person, my daddy on the coaching staff. Yeah. If you got a connection, use that motherfucker. Shit. Please.
This nigga talking about, well, you know my mother was head of household. Okay, we're not debating that. But your daddy's we fucking watched it.
Like, shout out to moms, G. We know.
I didn't ask who paid for the first date. I don't give a fuck. I don't care that your mom's finances career. Good for her. She held her nigga down and she's reaping the benefits now. Great. But your daddy is Denzel fucking Washington. Abuse that shit. And so even if you listen to his voice, he sound like Denzel.
Yeah, he definitely has his moments, like when he goes into his monologues and shit.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you close your eyes, you're like, damn.
And man, Malcolm Marie, when he was like, Marie, I can hear Jake.
Marie.
That's how I can hear that shit in my head. So, but I give John David, man, he's one of the best actors right now. Somebody had a quote. Who do you think's the hottest actor in Hollywood? Because my man Merck tweeted, is Michael B. Jordan the hottest actor? And I laughed at it at first. But then I started thinking about it.
People talk about his acting skill, but bro sells tickets, so they're putting him in a lot of shit. Like, I know he has an Amazon Prime movie coming out.
Yeah, he got Amazon Prime. Denzel's actually shooting a movie that he's in right now.
See, like bro is hot right now. Between them two, damn. A few months ago, I would have said Mahershala.
Oh, don't worry, he's coming back. He's playing Blade, so it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I think WandaVision set the bar for these shows.
Oh, if you thought niggas was ignorant at Black Panther, boy, niggas gonna be grilling in the parking lot when Blade come out.
Is he getting a show or is he getting a movie?
No, he getting a movie.
Oh, he getting a movie. Yeah, he getting a movie. That's gonna be crazy. That's gonna go crazy.
Yeah, they actually, I think the script is being written right now. Shorty who the black woman who wrote Watchmen is writing Blade. That's gonna be fucking crazy. So yeah, Michael B. Jordan probably is the biggest right now. I don't think he can act that much, but I'm not gonna shit on him. He's a cool nigga. I've met the nigga a couple times. Michael B. cool. You know what I'm saying? I think the best role he probably had to me was probably Just Mercy, where he did with Jamie Foxx and what show do you play? Captain Marvel. Brie Larson.
Yeah, Brie Larson.
That was a good movie. Yeah, I love Brie Larson.
But Brie Larson, Kat Dennings. Marvel got a couple, boy.
It ain't them on the cover. Look, I be feeling like Dr. Umar when I be watching them shits. I was like, bro.
Marvel got a couple, boy. I be like, damn.
Shit, okay. Shorty who played Wanda. She get it.
Yeah, y'all, everybody tried to chastise me because I ain't know that was the Olsen twins.
Okay,
sister.
Look, first, her last name is Olsen, G. How many white people in the industry name Olsen?
But I never really thought about it. And like, and as much as people be like, oh, she looks like them, she only looked like them when they make that dumbass face.
Michelle Tanner face?
Yeah, whenever they just sit there and make that droopy ass face, that's when they all look alike. But other than that,
when I first found out about it, I saw Olsen. I was like, okay, she related to them, so I Googled it. I was like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? So, I thought it was common knowledge. But, yeah, they got some decent white chicks on there. And I don't even, like, date white women, but yeah. I go. And you know what's funny about Brie Larson? You can go to Venice Beach right now and find 10 Brie Larsons, but still something attractive about it. I was like, I'll do it.
It's crazy, but that's a lot of white women in Hollywood. Like, they look like regular white women you would see on the street.
But it's the money. It's the money.
Yeah, it's like, damn. Okay.
If you saw Brie Larson and Trader Joe's, you wouldn't bat an eye.
Bro, I'm going to say, you've probably seen 37 women that look like Sandra Bullock in the last week. But niggas love Sandra Bullock.
Nigga, you probably at FedEx and saw somebody.
Exactly.
you see, oh, damn, that bitch look kind of decent. But we gonna wrap this up, man. We appreciate y'all, man, for listening to us. I knew you guys were said you want us to cover The Wire. Eventually we'll get to that, but it's only two of us, you know what I'm saying? So, and we already like reviewing 100 shits at one time right now. So
yeah, I'm gonna y'all can tag me in for some of them episodes.
Oh, we will, because my brother,
that's a lot, G.
My brother's a lazy piece of shit. So and if I know he's gonna hear this when he edits it, fuck you. Because I love my brother. But, you know, he's someone, if you like, when he don't want to do something, he not going to fucking do it. And it's not, you just wasting your fucking breath. Like, I literally gave this nigga four reminders. I sent this nigga, I sent you like the rundown for Ball Don't Lie. I sent this nigga an iPhone note of the schedule 2 weeks ahead of time. I was like, we gonna do this today. He's all right, yeah, that's cool. Literally the day he told me he didn't want to do it 30 minutes before, I told him, we good for tomorrow? Yeah, we good. And nigga's like, nah, man, I'm a spring break, nigga. I don't feel like doing nothing. But if he can't get in, I know Dante, you'll come in, fill in for us, man. So check these movies out if you haven't checked it out. Next week, we're going to start reviewing Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I think is going to be dope to watch. Judas and the Black Messiah is coming soon. We're going to start doing Sopranos Season 3 this week. So patreon.com/barbershare network. Follow Barber's Chair Network on Twitter and Instagram at Barber's Chair Net. Follow us at October Zone Tay, at Barber's Chair Scott. We're going to holler at y'all in a couple weeks. We'll be back next week sending with the guys, but Ball Don't Lie. We'll be back last week of March. We'll talk about what's been going on in the NBA. The games actually kind of start back today. And the trade deadline will be going on. Going to be a lot of interesting stuff going on around that time. So y'all stay up, man. We're going to get up with y'all.